Appreciate that song, especially "He's More Precious Than Gold." I want to try and look at that a little bit tonight. John 21. I've been looking at the last couple of Wednesdays about more than these. I'm sorry it's taken as long as it is. I just got more to say than I used to, I guess. Or it's taken me longer to say it. I don't know which. And I really don't apologize because I am trying to mind the Lord as far as what He would have me say. But we're looking at the conversation between Jesus and Peter. They had more than one intimate, if that's the right word, conversations, one-on-one. And this is one of the sweetest in some ways and the saddest in some ways. He is speaking to Peter, and he asked him three different times, "Do you love me?" There's no doubt about it. Peter, in realizing that he asked him three times about his love for the Lord, connected it to his three denials earlier. In fact, the verses say that when he asked the third time and grieved Peter, that he had asked the third time. I believe he understood, no doubt, about what's going on. Look in verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" It's on my heart to emphasize those words, "more than these." He is talking about the degree of love that Peter has for Jesus, the level of love. "Do you love me more than these?" I'll say it again. My opinion is that he meant, "Do you love me more than these disciples?" Earlier you said, "They may forsake you, but I will never forsake you," implying that somehow he loves Jesus more than them, or is more dedicated to Jesus more than them, or more spiritual than them. But now Jesus said, "Do you really love me more than these?" I have mentioned there's a command involved. He says, "Feed my sheep, feed my lamb." He is saying, "If you love me, prove it." It's a command. We are to prove our love by how we live for the Lord. And then there's a comparison involved. He said, "Do you love me more than these? What do you love the most in this world?" Then there's a closeness involved. Love is a close thing. Communion is a close thing. Fellowship, relationship, our walk with the Lord is more than just a walk where we report for duty. It is to be an intimate, loving relationship and fellowship. That's what Jesus is examining here. And then I want to mention tonight there's a conflict involved. Notice what Jesus says. The very first word, Simon. He calls Peter his old name, that earthly name, that human name, that carnal name. Remember, Jesus changed Peter's name to Peter because he said, "You're like a rock." Well, Peter has not been acting like a rock. He surely didn't when he denied the Lord. And Jesus is pointing out here is also to us that Simon still in there, boy. You have done many great things, but I just want you to remember, don't ever forget, you're still Simon. That old man's still in there. And if that old man's in there, and he is, there's going to be conflict. When we talk about loving the Lord, and we've got an old nature, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be a battle. It isn't going to be easy. In fact, this conversation, as I've already said again tonight, connects Peter to his worst failure. And what he says is, "Do you love me? Lovest thou me?" That's the word, Greek word, agape. And Peter does not respond with the same word. He does not use the word agape. He uses the Greek word phileo, which means brotherly love. Here's what is going on in this conversation. Jesus said, do you love me with an all-consuming, sacrificial, selfless love? And Peter said, you know I'm your friend. And he asked again the same thing, and Peter's response is the same thing. Then finally, the third time, Jesus said, he used the same word that Peter had used. He used phileo, and he is saying, are you even really my friend? He is showing the time and part of Peter. I'll say it again, one of the greatest battles we'll ever have is to love the Lord. Shouldn't be that way, but we're Simon, we're Peter. Peter's old nature, we have our old Rick inside there, so there's going to be a battle. I'll say it again, it won't be easy to love God properly. In fact, the Bible warns us about that, especially in the end days, where it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for men shall be lovers of their own self. It's always been that way. Right. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. All the way through the Bible, we find people who are loving themselves more than loving God. And we have that same conflict in our lives. Jesus said, Matthew 24:12, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Even as believers, doing the best we can, we still will have a battle with loving the Lord. Because our love is not perfect. Our nature is not perfect. There's a battle. There's a conflict. We have flawed minds and flawed wills and flawed motives. So there's a conflict. So I get to this point. Here's my message for this evening. I'm talking about the conflict involved. I want us to ask ourselves this. How do I know that I love God? How do we know if we love Him? I have seven things. You better listen fast tonight. They will each be somewhat brief. That word somewhat is what scares you, I know. Number one, how do I know if being in love with Him is a conflict? And it is. How do I even know that I do love Him? Number one, when you're very conscious of His love for you. When you know He loves you. John, even in this chapter, it says of Him in verse 7, wherefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. We know that's John. John is the beloved disciple. And one thing that keeps coming rising to the top of John's recognition of Jesus is, he sure does love me. And there's something about two people who love each other. Each realizes they love me. I know they love me. It's like there's a connection between the two. And I say this evening, there is no doubt about it. He loves me. I don't know why He does, but I know that He does. And I have to say this, and so will you. He loves us better than we love Him. Oh, I want to love Him more. I have said this before. Every time I say, I love you, Lord, I feel convicted. And almost, I suppose, probably every time I ever tell Him I love Him, I say, I know I don't love you like I ought to, but I do love you. Because I know how much He loves me. I got to interrupt myself. I'm not sure I do comprehend how much He loves me, but I do know this. He loves me. I say this evening, we know we love Him because we are very conscious of how He loves us. Number two, when you're more concerned about what He wants than what you want. That's true of an earthly relationship when there's two who really love each other. Each one of the partners each one of the people are more concerned about the other than they are themselves. That's a part of love. And when we're more concerned about what he wants than what we want, it's a pretty good sign that we love him. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's he saying? If you love me, prove it by how you do and how you treat me and how you do what I tell you to do. If you love me, prove it. Now, don't misunderstand what that statement is saying. He is not saying that if I love him, I must show him by doing everything he says. That's legalism. That's not love. But what he is saying is this: if you love me, you will want to do what I tell you to do. You will want to do it. It's kind of like the fellow that's getting married. At the wedding altar, and the preacher says, you may kiss your bride. I hope he does not look back to that preacher and say, do I have to? I hope he is looking forward to that. If he says, do I have to, that woman's in trouble. Doing that act is an act of love. And doing the commandments of God and doing what Jesus desires is a revelation of our love for him. So, do you want to do what he wants you to do? Do you consider it a sacrifice and hard and burdensome? Remember what it says in 1 John 5:3? His commandments are not grievous. Now that old Simon, he wants what Simon wants. And that old man in you wants what you want. But we have the Holy Spirit inside us also who wants what God wants. And if we love the Lord like we should, we will want to do what he wants us to do. It'll be a big thing in our lives. We will live the way he tells us and not be grieved to do so. Got a good question for you. Did you live today like he wanted you to or like you wanted to? Number three, when your prayers are more important, let me back up. When your prayers are more about him than about you, I'm talking about, do we love him? One evidence of us loving him is when we talk to him, it's more about him than what we're needing or wanting, more than requests. Our prayers so often are like a wish list. It's like a little child sitting on Santa's knee. It's like a fat man at the buffet bar getting what he wants, this request, that request. So often our prayers, no doubt about it, do not display our love near as much as they should. If we love him, our prayers will be more about him than about us. It'll be more of worship and thanks and adoration and gratitude than complaining or even asking. Sure, we can ask. He tells us to. Oh, but if we love him, if you love your spouse or you love a friend, if you speak more in their presence about what can they do for you and how can they meet your need, they have reason to doubt or question your love. Number four, how do we know that we love him when we're excited about spending time with him? That's connected to the first one or the previous one, but it's different. When we're excited about spending time with him, when you enjoy your devotions and it's not laborsome, when you want to do it and not try to find a reason to skip it, when you long to spend time with him, when you really enjoy coming to church because it's a time when you can hear from him and you can talk back to him. a time of communion, of spending time with them. I thought about Moses, and God is talking to him about the promised land, which Moses desires an awful lot. I would have too. But here's what Moses said in Exodus 33, verse 15. In thy presence, go not with me, carry us not up thence. I'll summarize it. Moses is saying, I really want to go. It is a good sounding land, and you want to give it to us, and I really do want it. But I just say right now, if you're not going, don't take us there. He is saying, you are more important than your blessings. You are more important than an easier life for us. He is saying, I'm more excited about you than what you can do for me. That's a good sign of loving God. If you don't want his blessings near as much as you want him, it's a pretty good sign that you love him. Number five. We can know that we love him when it hurts us to hurt him. I thought about these verses that say, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I thought about the Old Testament comparison of that when it says that he looked upon man and it grieved him in his heart that he even made man. God is not just some dictator, is not just some controller of the universe moving knobs and pushing buttons. He is a real person with real feelings, with real love. And when we do something that hurts him, it hurts him, it grieves him. And if we love him, it ought to grieve us when we grieve him. I cannot help but think about Peter. He denied him three times. And then he looked, and through the courtyard, there's Jesus. And Jesus looked at him eyeball to eyeball. And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He did not weep bitterly because he got caught or because he thought, oh no, I'm really going to get it now. He wasn't afraid, even though I'm sure he was concerned. He wasn't afraid. He did not weep because he was going to get punished, going to pay for it. He wept because he knew he broke the heart of Jesus. You know why? Because even in his failure, he still did love the Lord. And we also, like Peter, will fail the Lord. There's no doubt about that. We do not have to. We should not as much as we do, but we will. And when we do, if we love him, it will grieve our heart. We also may need to weep, or it'll be so severe that we will weep. It hurts us when we hurt him. We will be quick to confess, quick to repent. A person who has walked with the Lord and definitely knows him as Lord and Savior, and then something happens and they get out of God's will and stay out of God's will for a long time, that person, a lot of things could be said, but one thing that can be said with no doubt, that person does not love God like they should. And if we prolong our repentance and our confession, if we try to put it off, oh, it shows us we don't love him like we should. Because listen, if you love somebody, really love somebody, and there's a disagreement, you want to get it fixed just as soon as possible. You want that fellowship restored. Then number six, how do we know that we love him? When we trust him. There's something about love. Love between two, or love between a family, or love between friends, or a closeness. But there is trust involved. Those who really love each other know, I can trust him. I can trust her. And they do trust the other person. The wife, hopefully, in regard to a marriage relationship, feel safe with her husband, knows that he loves her and she loves him, and he is going to prove that love by protecting and providing and being there. She feels comfort in that relationship because she loves him and she knows he loves her. There's a trust involved. You can flip that coin over and say the husband feels safe with the wife. He doesn't worry about her being unfaithful because he knows that even though she is flesh and anything can happen, she loves him and he loves her and he is trusting her with his heart and with his life. And that's how it is with our Lord. Oh my. If you love him, you'll recognize you can feel safe with him. He surely is not going to betray us. He's surely not going to let us down. He's not going to wrong us. He's not going to somehow drop the ball. He loves us. And if we love him, a part of that experience is trusting him, relying on him, depending on him. And loving him says, I know I'm safe in the arms of God. And then lastly, you must have listened pretty quick. The last thing, how do I know that I love him? I would serve him even if there were no rewards. I certainly can go back to Moses and say, I really want the promised land. But if you don't go, I don't even want it. I'm not even concerned about it. So if we love him, we would serve him even if we got no rewards. Our measure or degree of love for him is revealed by how we treat him and what we do for him and how we want to stay in his will. We would serve him even if there are no rewards. I ask a searching question. You cannot answer it quickly and give the right response. Here's my question. Why do you do what you do that you would categorize for the Lord? We can answer it quickly, but I'm not sure we answer it correctly. I think that's a searching question. I believe that's a question that requires some time of examination, of looking at our lives and looking at our motive and looking at our actions, looking at how we treat the Lord and how we act in this world. Why do you do what you do? I'll say this, it'll be even more difficult. If there's any other reason why we do what we do, quote unquote, for the Lord, other than that we really love him, our motive is not the best motive. That is not easy to comprehend in analyzing our love. And it is not easy to put to practice in saying, I want to love him, and that's why I do what I do. That is something we must pray about. That is something we grow into. One of Paul's prayers was that your love might be increased. Now, there's no doubt he's talking about loving people, but I believe that can at least be implied, if not completely pointing to our love for God increased, that it may abound more and more, he said. When we serve him, even if there were no rewards, which means we serve him because we love him. I do know this. The reason he did what he did, which involves the cross, which involves leaving heaven, which involves separating from his Father, was because he loved us. I've said this already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son gave himself because of his love for us. That's the only reason. He did not have to. It was not a requirement. He was not forced. He was not compelled. He did it willingly because his love is what compelled him. He did what he did because he loved us. And by the way, he took care of us today because he loved us. We would serve him if there were no rewards. I close with this thought. He wants us to serve him. He has words in this Bible that tell us we are to labor for him. But he doesn't need us. You tell me what you do that he couldn't do some other way. What we do, he could will it so. He could use an angel. He could just speak the word of anything we do. But he has divinely chosen to love mankind, to draw them to him, to change their hearts, to put in them a love for him to where they will say, I just want to please him. I just want to serve him. I want to do his will. Jesus said to Peter, he says the same thing to us. Lovest thou me more than these? Let's stand together.